The VPR Cafe is made possible by the Vermont Community Foundation's Food and Farm Initiative, supporting farmers and helping all families access nutritious local food. VermontCF.org.
Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Vermonters love their local farms and the meats and produce that they can buy directly from these farmers. That has given rise to the idea of community-supported agriculture, or CSAs. You purchase a share at the beginning of the summer, and for a designated period of time, you pick up your fresh vegetables at a specific location, or they might be delivered to you. Joining me this morning is Candace Page, who writes for the Savervore series in the Burlington Free Press. Candy, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Great to be here, Rick.
So how have CSAs changed through the years?
Oh, boy, that is a big question with a very long answer that I'll try to make short. You know, CSAs are a relatively new phenomenon, this idea that you pay in advance, and if the tomato crop fails, then you and the farmer are sharing the risk because you don't get your money back. So CSAs have been around maybe 20 years, and it used to be the season was X number of weeks, 20 weeks, 22 weeks. Everybody paid the same amount. Everybody got the same amount of vegetables. You went to the farm, you picked up the vegetables, and you had one choice, you know, Fridays, come and get your vegetables. Well, as the number of CSAs has grown and as CSAs have had to compete for customers and gotten better at understanding how they need to adapt in some ways to what customers want, there is an incredible array of choices. Do you want to pick up at the farm? Do you want to have it delivered to your office? Do you want a small share? Do you want a medium share? Do you want a large share? Do you want a share that includes vegetables and meat? Do you want to add on bread and cheese?
So how do you decide which is the right one for you?
Well, you're asking the right person since I am a two-time CSA dropout, still committed to local foods and looking for my third CSA. I should say that the reason I dropped out of my first two has nothing to do with the quality of the food, which was uniformly fabulous. But like many people, I think I got in without a lot of consideration. I love local food. I want to support farmers. Here's a CSA that's less than a mile from my house. I'm signing up. I didn't stop to think, how is this going to fit into the way I cook? How is this going to fit into my work schedule? How easy and convenient is it going to be? How am I going to have to change in order to make best use of this food? It just didn't quite fit the way my life worked then. For you, on the other hand, I think it has worked well.
It has, and I split a share, a small share, to start with. And even then, I learned through the first year that I have to do more planning ahead of time before that share arrives each week. It's not enough to react to what you get. You get alerted a few days ahead of time what's coming. So you have to start thinking then, how am I going to use that cabbage? What am I going to do with the peppers or this or that? And actually, then you can start to plan out over the next 4 or 5 days how you're going to use what you've gotten. And what you're not going to use, it's always good to give away right up front so it doesn't sit in the fridge looking at you and say, here's a cabbage, I'm waiting for you to use me.
You know, when I interviewed CSA farmers about why they have fairly high turnover in their CSAs year to year, 25 to 30%. Some of it is people moving away. A lot of it, I think, is convenience. But one of the things that several of them mentioned was CSA guilt. So you have signed up for the CSA, and it's either more food than you expected and can use, or it's unexpected food that you don't know how to use.
Right.
The kohlrabi conundrum. Kohlrabi figures largely in these stories. People don't know what to do with it. So you push it to the back of the refrigerator. You don't use it. Then you're feeling guilty because you're wasting food. And people say, well, CSAs aren't for me.
Luckily, I grew up in a house where my mother used kohlrabi, so I have some sense of what to do with it when it shows up.
Are you going to give me a recipe?
I throw it in soup. You're listening to VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri, and with me today is Candace Page of the Burlington Free Press. We're discussing CSAs, how to pick them, what they offer. Candy, what about farmers market shoppers?
you may be somebody who loves going to the farmer's market.
Right.
Going to the farmer's market on Saturday morning fits your lifestyle. You like being able to look at everything. You like being able to buy from a large number of different farmers. So maybe that works for you. Or you might want to think about some CSAs now. You know, the traditional CSA gives you a box of food. That's your share for the week. Other CSAs let you graze, you know, and take a pound of tomatoes or choose a pound of 2 pounds of combined tomatoes, peppers, and onions. Or there are now CSAs that work like farm stands. You pay X hundred dollars up front and you get X plus 15% credit, and you can go to the farm stand anytime you want and take your pick of vegetables. So again, we need to, the key here is to realize the diversity that's available and that local food can now fit conveniently into the lifestyle, schedules, and diets of more and more people.
Along with kohlrabi, celeriac is one of those vegetables that can really stump people. But I understand you've mastered celeriac.
Okay, celeriac is a fall and late winter vegetable. It's a big, knobby, ugly tuber.
It is.
I have to say, the first time I got them at the farmer's market, that was one of the things that sat in the refrigerator till I threw it away 3 months later. Then I joined a CSA that had all you could eat celeriac, and I thought, well, I got to learn to use this. So what you have to do is, first of all, be ruthless in peeling it, but then I slice it. I cook it in a little chicken stock and butter till it's very tender, and then I puree it in the blender with enough milk so that the blender will go around, and it is fabulous. I eat it just plain in place of mashed potatoes because it's much lower in carbohydrates. My husband loves it beaten in to some mashed potatoes. It just makes them much more interesting. And then you can use it in a gratin sliced with potatoes and some milk and cheese. I've put it in leek and potato soup now. Mm. I make celeriac soup. If you come to my house in January, February, or March, celeriac is going to be part of dinner.
Reporter Candace Page, thanks for joining us this morning. You'll find Candy's recipes for celeriac as well as resources for finding CSAs in your area at vpr.net.